Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
40 years after the prophetess Deborah, with army leader Barak, won a resounding battle victory for the Israelites, the people again turned aside from worshipping God, their great deliverer, to worshipping the pagan Canaanite idols instead. God was greatly displeased with this, and he sent the Midianites to harass Israel. At each harvest time for the next 7 years, the Midianites and their allies would come to Canaan and rob the Israelites of their crops and animals, leaving nothing behind for the Israelites to eat. This caused the Israelites to become so poor that they finally cried out to the Lord for help. The Lord responded by sending an unnamed prophet to rebuke the Israelites for worshipping other gods, as this was something the Lord had forbidden them to do. Although the Israelites didn't deserve God's further help, the Lord decided to act on Israel's behalf by raising up a leader to deliver them.
I guess I'll sit down and rest a while. Oh, hello. I didn't see you sitting there.
The Lord is with thee, Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor.
Me, a man of valor? Oh, you must have me mixed up with...
Go, Gideon, in this thy might, for thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.
But, Angel, I can't save Israel. My family is poor and without influence, and I am the least in my father's house.
The Lord will be with thee.
Tarry, and I shall go and prepare a kid and unleavened bread. Then, if all thou tell me be true, show me a sign.
I will tarry until thou art come again.
There, everything is in readiness. Not very much of a feast, Angel, but it is all we have.
Take the flesh and the bread and put them on this rock. And pour out the broth.
Yes, Angel.
You asked for a sign. With the end of this rod, I touch the flesh and bread. And behold, what seest thou?
Fire! It's consuming the bread and flesh. Oh, now I know of an assurance that... He's gone. Disappeared. He was an angel. Oh, an angel. I shall die because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.
Peace be unto thee, Gideon, and fear not. Thou shalt not die. Tonight thou shalt tear down the altar of Baal that thy father and the people worship at. Thou shalt cut it down and the grove that is by it. And then thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord God, and offer an offering with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down.
Son, wake up. Wake up, it's morning.
I am already awake, Father. Why so excited?
I went early to the worship at the shrine of Baal. Someone during the night destroyed the shrine and in its place built an altar to the God of Israel.
Who would do such a thing as that?
Well, son, I think you would. You have never approved of worshiping Baal, and I have a suspicion you did it. Did you? Well, did you?
Yes, Father, I did. I built the altar to God and have already offered a sacrifice upon it.
But why?
I believe in God and worship him, not Baal.
But you destroyed something we believe in. Would you force us to believe as you do? Is it possible that you could possibly...
Now, who could be coming this early in the morning?
I don't know, but if I were you, I think I'd hide.
Hide?
Just as a precaution. There may be some angry townspeople at the door.
Good advice, Father.
Well, what's the meaning of this intrusion? You weren't invited here. Now get back to your home.
Just a minute, not so fast. We're here for Gideon.
My son?
Well, he is your son, isn't he? We want him, Joash, now.
What do you want with him?
Bring him out. and he shall die a slow, lingering, painful death. He's cast down and destroyed the shrine of Baal and the grove that was by it. We went there to do our morning worship to the god of Baal, and lo and behold,
went there to worship your god, Baal?
Yes, Baal.
Then you freely admit that Baal is a god.
Well, of course he is.
And gods are powerful?
All powerful.
Then, if Baal is a god and powerful, you need not plead for him.
Yes, we do.
Are you trying to save a god who's stronger than you, all powerful?
Huh?
If he be a true god and powerful, he could have saved himself. But he didn't. Therefore, he must be a false god.
Don't you say so?
Down with Baal, the false god. Whosoever plead for the false god Baal, let him be put to death.
Huh?
While it's yet morning, is there any among you who would plead for and worship a false god? One who hasn't even the power to save himself? Then go, brethren, back to your homes.
I guess he's right, fellow townsman. I, for one, am not going to worship a false god.
Thanks for saving my life, Father. And now all I have to do, according to that angel, is save Israel. But how? How?
The Lord spoke to Gideon, telling him that the Lord was with him. What an encouraging thing to be told in such a time of constant trouble. The Lord told Gideon to go in his own might and that God would save the Israelites from the Midianites through him. Just as Israel's first leader Moses had done, so also did Gideon. He tried backing out of God's assignment to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. Gideon wasn't a trained soldier, so he focused on his family being the weakest of their clan and that he was the least of his family. But these were two reasons why God chose Gideon. The Lord chooses to work through those who are the weakest and the least so that no one may boast before him. The Lord himself promised to be with Gideon. Still uncertain, Gideon asked the Lord for a sign. It's not wrong to ask the Lord for a sign to confirm God's clear direction of starting something new for him. This doesn't need to imply a lack of faith. It can simply indicate a desire to check one's guidance before proceeding. How gracious the Lord was to wait around under a tree while Gideon prepared a young goat and some unleavened bread to bring out to him as an offering. These items would have been quite a sacrifice for him to make when food in the land was so scarce. But God gave Gideon a sign of his approval by burning up the offering. Then the Lord departed. That same night, the Lord told Gideon to tear down the pagan altar and the wooden pole that his own father had erected for the people's worship of the Canaanite god Baal. Gideon knew that he wouldn't be popular with the local community, so he did this with the help of 10 of his servants at nighttime. Then he built an altar to the Lord in their place instead and sacrificed an animal on it. Early the next morning, a crowd came knocking on Gideon's front door, demanding his blood for desecrating their worship center. His father Joash gave a very wise answer to those people. If Baal really was a god, he could fight for himself. The people may have thought that Baal would put Gideon to death, but when this didn't happen, the people started to side with Gideon. Then the Midianites and the other eastern people came back into Canaan as in times past, but this time it appeared they were ready for battle. The Spirit of the Lord came onto Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, calling all troops to come to him. The very people who had wanted to kill him for destroying the altar of Baal were the first to come. Altogether, Gideon had 32,000 men, while there are 135,000 men in the Midianite camp. The odds of winning 1-4 seemed a little overwhelming, so Gideon asked the Lord for another sign if he should lead the Israelites into battle. At this point, Gideon lacked a full faith in God to do a mighty miracle for the Israelites. So Gideon said to God, "Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece only, and it's dry on the ground, then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you've said." The next morning, Gideon wrung a bowl full of overnight dew out of the fleece. But he may have realized that dew would take longer to dry out of the fleece than the ground around it. So he wasn't sure now if what happened was just the natural way things are, or if God had really given him a sign. So Gideon came again to God and he asked first that God may not be angry with him and then to reverse the previous night's request. Gideon wanted the fleece to be dry and all the ground around it to be wet with dew. And again, God, with great patience and kindness, did as Gideon requested. God knew Gideon's heart of obedience, so God was willing to give him the extra assurance that he'd asked for. There's a lesson here for all of us. If we want reassurance from God, we must first demonstrate obedience to his commands. If we are unwilling to obey in the first place, God will not give us full assurance that we are in his will. God calls us to step out in faith and obedience, based on what we know of him already. Then, as we go forward, he will give us all the reassurances we need. He'll give us peace inside and then a clear direction to follow. We won't need to put out sheep fleeces in the way that Gideon did. We can falsely ask God to give us a miracle answer when, in reality, we're really being unwilling to obey. The kind of fleece that we should start using is praying about our circumstances. We can ask, if the Lord allows this circumstance to happen, then I will do this. But if the Lord allows that circumstance to happen by a particular point in time, then I will do that. God often guides us by normal circumstances and will give us wisdom to understand what that guidance is. Once Gideon had his soldiers camped close to the Midianite camp, the Lord spoke to Gideon again. Because God wanted to keep the Israelites from boasting that it was they who defeated the Midianites, God decided to reduce the size of Gideon's small army. God firstly told Gideon to send home those who were fearful, which left only 10,000 men. Then Gideon was to take the men down to the water for a drink. Those who lapped the water with their tongues were to be set apart from those who drank the water using cupped hands. There were only 300 in the group who drank the water using cupped hands. God told Gideon that he would save Israel through only them. All the rest of the men were sent back to their tents. God wanted to make sure that the Israelites would be left with no grounds to boast. Have you ever considered what's so bad about boasting? God hates human pride. One of the most obvious ways for people to show their pride is to boast about themselves and their accomplishments, and not about the Lord and his works. As a result, they take credit for what God alone does and has done. Through his obedience to God, Gideon became one of the great heroes of the Christian faith, as listed in Hebrews chapter 11. By tearing down Baal's altar, Gideon showed his dedication to God and won over his family, community, and most of northern Israel. Christ needs committed followers who, like Gideon, are willing to face danger and death for his sake. Those who are willing to take up their cross and follow him, no matter what the cost. God can use any of us as he used Gideon. We may start out doubting God and our own abilities, and so look for reassurances to strengthen our weak faith. We can also expect that God will give us a test to see if we'll obey him. Steadily, God will prepare us for the work that he has given us to do, and he will fill us with his Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. Christians today are surely called to fight battles of false teaching, idolatry of every kind, worldliness, ungodliness, boastfulness, and pride. Romans chapter 12 verse 16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.